If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the gospel according to Matthew. We're in Matthew this morning. Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. If you're using a pew Bible beside you or near you, I believe it's page 820. Last week I promised that we would take a break from the Gospel of John and look at some of the things in the life of the Apostle Peter. It was a struggle to pick one passage to kind of open up with, because if you know anything about the Gospels, Peter is all through them doing all kinds of things, sometimes doing well, sometimes not so well, and it was kind of hard to pick one to go off of one. But this morning I picked the one where, if you recall, there's a storm that arose on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus ends up walking on the water out to the men on the boat. The men are terrified. And in this passage in Matthew, Peter actually asks Jesus if he can come out and walk on the water. We covered this event back in John several months ago, but John doesn't even mention this interaction between Jesus and Peter. And John, it just focuses on Jesus being able to walk on water and getting into the boat. Matthew takes time to look at Peter's interaction with the Lord. And we learn some life lessons, valuable life lessons between this and many other passages that we'll lightly hit upon as we go through the message this morning. Peter will find himself in an impossible situation. And we all get there sometimes. We all feel like that sometimes. Sometimes we just think life is impossible. And he discovers more about his Lord for going through this, his majesty and strength. So we'll look at verses 22 to 33 this morning and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Let's begin. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he has dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat at this time was a long way from the land. Beaten by the waves, the wind was against them. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to walk to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's take a moment and pray. Father, Lord, we pray that you would teach us again what it means to trust. In the midst of fear, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of impossible situations, to see that you're above them, to see that you bring us through them, even through death, to victory. You're the sovereign Lord. Teach us some of these things. Remind us again. Help us to hear for the first time, maybe, the power and the majesty and the glory of this Christ who is the great I Am. Teach us this morning, we pray. Amen. Growing in faith. Growing in your ability to lead and make disciples happens when you take the teachings of Jesus, the instructions of Jesus, and live them out in everyday circumstances. Things like, how do I handle the kids when they aren't getting along? Things like, when there's a mean kid at school, how do I deal with him if you are a youth? And for all of us, how do I handle jealousy? How do I handle depression? How do I handle the sin in my heart? You need to take what you are hearing and learning from Christ and live them out. When you go through the Gospels, you will see this happening to Peter. Peter was trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus, and he wanted to be a leader for Jesus. For Peter, he was all in. He was very motivated. He was a full throttle kind of guy. He put his foot to the pedal and he said, "Let's go, Jesus." From Peter's interactions with the Lord, we learn many life lessons. Things like to live by faith is to be open, to be ready to receive instruction for the Lord. You need to be open. There's a story where Peter, his feet are being washed by Jesus. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and he gets to Peter, and Peter's like, "Lord, you can't wash my feet. You're way above that." And Jesus says, "Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part of me." And he's like, "Okay, Lord, wash my feet and my whole body if you have to, whatever it takes." Peter would often disagree with Jesus, but he was teachable. He would hear, he would learn. Another thing we see from these interactions between Jesus and Peter is that God will take us through things that seem impossible to overcome. But it's in these moments, it's in those moments where we experience Christ's faithfulness, Christ's power, and Christ's glory. In return, you will develop a heart that is bold for Christ, for the cause of Christ. A boldness to start again when you fail. When you fall into sin, fall into temptation, maybe you try to start a ministry or something and it just doesn't work out, you're bold to start again because Jesus has brought you through something impossible in the past. And it will teach you humility. A humility that is strong yet compassionate. A humility that is strong yet merciful. A humility that's always depending on the Lord. You can plan and try to do all the right things, but it has to be the Lord's doing, and Peter had to learn that. We are called to live through the impossible situations of life through Jesus, who makes all things possible. If you think about some of the things that are impossible in life, some of the silly things, you can think of some of the things like trying to open a pickle jar, you know, after you got your lunch meat out and your hands are a little greasy and you just sit there and you just can't get the jar open no matter how hard you try. It's frustrating. Or if you're a kid and you go out and you buy a new toy or a CD and you just get it home and they have all these child safety features on the package and you can try to get all the twisties off and there's no way you can get to the toy except for a blowtorch or something like that. It just seems impossible. Life at times will be hard. It will seem like an impossible situation. It will seem like the depression just won't leave. It'll be hard just to find contentment where you find yourself. You wish life would run smooth. You would think school, retirement, and work would just be something of ease, but that's simply not the case. The scriptures never paint a picture of a life that's easy. If God wanted to, he could remove all the obstacles. He could remove everything that's difficult, but he doesn't. And he does it for his people's good and for his glory. We are called to live through these events of impossibility. Because what you will experience is far greater than the situation itself. You will see Christ in his glory, his majesty and power, and you will praise him. So how do we do it? How do we make it when we're in the midst of the impossible situation? First, we recognize our place and our purposes are in the hands of the great I am. All of life is in his plans and his purposes. We need to see Jesus as Savior and Deliverer. We need to know that the story is not over. He has come to change things. And every time you wake up in the morning, know this, his mercies are new every morning. They don't run out. They don't get old. You can't exhaust them. His mercies are new every morning. J. Oswald Sanders, in his book Spiritual Leadership, says this, redirect your focus away from the impossible towards the greatness of God. When you find yourself in that impossible situation, that things where it just seems like it's so hard and difficult, get your focus off of that and focus towards the greatness and the majesty and the power and sovereignty of God and see what he's going to do. See, his power, his glory will get you through this life which seems impossible. And it'll be a moment to where you can learn and lead others in these glorious truths. Like Peter, be a follower, a discoverer of who Christ is, and be full throttle Be all in. Be a teacher to the children, to your neighbor, to your co-worker, of the majesty and the glory of Christ who rises above the storms. Let me give you some of the context of where we're at in this story. The disciples have been on an emotional roller coaster. John the Baptist had passed away, their good friend. They had just experienced the feeding of the 5,000 men. It was crazy. There's probably about 20,000 people there, and Jesus feeds all of them miraculously. They're tired, they're exhausted. Jesus sends them away into the boat to start going across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray. The wind picks up on the sea. It's getting crazy. They can't strive anymore. They're out in the disciples. They're out in this boat. The winds are rocking. The water's splashing in on them. It's late in the morning. It's about 3 to 6 in the morning. This is a late night. If you work midnight shift, you know what this is about. Jesus is doing an all-nighter. They're about 3 or 4 miles out on the sea, and they're in the midst of this storm, and they see somebody walking upon the water. And they scream out in fear, "It's a ghost!" Imagine you're sitting there rocking and waves and wind, and you see this being walking on the water. What is your reaction? What in the world? People don't do that. What is that? And Jesus says, "It is I." Or more literally in the Greek, "I am." "It is I am that's walking on top of the waters to you guys. I'm on my way. You don't need to be afraid. I am on my way." And that's about where we're at this morning. The great I am is on his way. He is walking on water. This God of the burning bush, this God who brought the people of Egypt, brought them into the land by the pillar of fire and the cloud. This is the great I am. This is Jesus walking on water. And so Peter wants to discover. He wants to discover Christ's power and his glory. And he asks, "Can I walk on the water with you?" Look at verse 28 in your text. "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus." This is our first point. And our first point is Peter discovered that knowing Christ and his power will allow you to get through the storms of life. Knowing Christ and his power will allow you to get through the storms of life. Peter is the leader of the group. When you look at all the Gospels, when you look at the list of the apostles, Peter is always listed first. Peter doesn't sit around and wait. When there's something new to discover, he's the first in line. He's the first to raise his hand. He's the first with an idea. He's the first with an answer. You know these kind of people in school and work. Sometimes they're great fun. Sometimes they're really annoying. But he has great energy. He's an act first, consider later kind of guy. This is Peter, but he's teachable. He wanted to learn. He wanted to discover. He wasn't apathetic. He wasn't lazy. He was a fisherman. He loved to work. He loved to be out on the sea. He loved where the danger and adventure was. And he's learning what it means to live and follow Christ through impossible situations. Peter, he's in this boat that's rocking and the waves are just crushing the boat back and forth. And he sees Jesus. He sees this figure. He's a little unsure. Jesus says, "It is I." And so he says, "Jesus, if that's you, command me to walk out on the water." He's a little timid, but he's willing to go. "If that's you, command me to walk on the water." And he gets out. Sometimes we ask the same questions in life with God. When we find ourselves in that hard and difficult situation, we cry out, "God, if you're real, show me. God, if you're real, get me through this. God, I need you." There are things that cause us to fear and to doubt, and Jesus rises above the impossible of the doubts and the fears, and he makes a way where there seems to be no way. If he can walk on water, he can deliver us. Do you trust the God who can do impossible things? If you feel God calling you to do something, do you trust him, or do you just see the impossibilities before you, like, this can never happen? J.C. Rao says, "If you find yourself in the midst of a hard and difficult situation, and the Lord's calling you through it, The waters may seem deep, but Jesus says, come and have no cause to be afraid. So Peter got out. You got to imagine he's getting out on his boat. He left the comfort, the safety of the boat, and he trusts on Jesus and walks towards him. Peter discovered that knowing Christ and his power will allow you to get through the storms. And you need to know that in the midst of it. He will get you through. Jesus is walking on top of it, and he will pull you through it. Keep your eyes fixed on him. But like Peter, at times we lose focus. We get our eyes shifted away from Jesus, and we start to sink, which is our second point. Like Peter, at times we'll forget his power and his glory, and we'll sink in the mess of life. In verse 30 it says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus gave Peter his name. Before meeting Jesus, his name was Simon, the son of Jonah. When Jesus called Peter to follow him, he said, I will name you Peter, which means rock, which means solid, firm, unmovable. That's what Jesus would transform him to be, and that's what he will transform all his followers to be. Depending on our situation, sometimes our faith is strong. We could do anything for Jesus, and other times it's like we're on quicksand. It's like we're on that log that's kind of moving around, and we can't keep our balance, and we just sink and fall. Peter here is walking on the sea. He's walking in the midst of an impossible situation. He's walking on rolling seas. And from the outside, this is the disastrous situation. This is foolish, Peter. What are you doing? But with his eyes locked in on Jesus, he's walking his way right to him. And if you're trying to lead your home, fathers, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't let the distractions get you in a way, or fear and anxiety will creep in. If you're struggling to go through a doctor's prognosis, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He will pull you through. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you don't, you'll sink. During this, Peter saw the wind and not the power of Jesus. He quickly forgot the power, and fear crept into his heart, and he began to sink. He thought about the impossibilities of the situation. I shouldn't be walking on water. I shouldn't be getting through this event. Doubt, despair, and anxiety crept in. Zach Williams has a song on K-Love called Fear, He is a Liar. And so if there's fear that's robbing you of the majesty of Christ, if there's fear that's robbing you of the power of Christ, if there's fear that's robbing you of the ability to trust the trustworthiness of Christ, it's a liar. He says, fear is a liar. It will take your breath. It will stop you in your steps. It will immobilize you. He says, cast that fear in the fire. He says, fear is a liar. It'll rob you of rest. It'll take your happiness. Stay focused on Christ. Get your eyes off the impossibilities and focus on Christ. See, we usually start well in following Jesus and listening to Jesus. We have great energy and excitement to try to start something new, but a roadblock will show up, a hurdle will show up, and we start to fear, doubt, and despair. And as your minister, I feel that about every Monday morning. I look at myself and why? What am I doing? I have to get my eyes off the impossibilities and see Christ's power and his glory. Redirect the focus off the impossible to the greatness of God. Stop sinking. Get your eyes locked on Christ. But because of God's grace, because of his mercy, even though we may fail, we get to experience his faithfulness and power in greater ways. Look at verse 31. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took a hold of Peter, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, Jesus had options here. He did call his name Peter, which means rock, so you could have let Peter just sink, right? Peter, what's wrong with you? I'm not wasting my time on you, Peter. This is crazy. He had that option. there was the disciples in the boat, and you could have said, Peter, you're sinking. Guys, look at Peter, how he messed up. What a failure. Can you throw him a line or something? You know, he could have even just levitated him out of the water. But it says immediately he reached down, pulled him up himself. Peter, why'd you doubt? I'm right here, buddy. It's a picture of Jesus. We're all drowning in sin. We're all drowning in despair. And he reaches us and grabs us out. We can't help ourselves. He pulls us out. That's the cross for us. We say we have faith. Do we? Thankfully, we just need the size of a mustard seed. That's all we need. And he grows our faith. J.C. Rao, he writes, if we fall, he will raise us again. If we err, he will bring us back. His mercy shall now never all be together taken away from us. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. For Peter, he discovered Christ's faithfulness and power in a greater way in the midst of this impossible situation, even in the midst of his failure. And he needed to remember to get back up and serve again. And Peter would have to remember this and all kinds of things that happened in his life. Some of the other events that Peter would have to remember is in Luke 5. In Luke 5, Jesus is out with Peter and the disciples. They're out on a boat and they're teaching on the Sea of Galilee again. They're teaching. They've been teaching a while. They were fishing all night before. After Jesus gets done teaching, he says, Peter, let the nets back down one more time. Peter's like, Lord, we fished all night. We've done this over and over and over again. But if you want me to, we'll let it down. And he let it down and the nets were breaking because there were so many fish in there. Peter would have to remember. He'd have to remember things like this. He was teachable. The Lord is powerful. He is faithful. He'd also have to remember that the Lord is praying for him. In Luke 22, Peter, who's bold, he's courageous, he would do anything for the Lord. He's like, Lord, I will never deny you. I will never deny you. And Jesus is like, Simon. He doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon. Simon, Simon. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. He wants to crush you. But I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are restored, strengthen my brothers. The Lord is praying for you. We're in the midst of the impossible situation. When you're in the midst where fear and anxiety creep in, remember his strength, his power and glory. He is sovereign above it all. That he will carry you through and that he is praying for you. This is the Lord. These are some of the life lessons that Peter had to learn it and many, many more to prepare him for what the Lord wanted him to do. Remember his faithfulness. Remember his power. And our last point, when you are restored like Peter, worship him and get back to serving and following him. In verse 32, when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The disciples could have said to Jesus, what in the world did you do that for? Why would you bring us through this? How dare you do that? But no, because they went through it, they experienced Christ in a greater and more powerful way, and they just worshiped. You are the Son of God. In moments of doubt and despair, Jesus won't let you sink. Keep your eyes fixed on him. He will deliver you all the way home, even through death. There's victory for you. There are many, many life lessons Peter learned. There would be a time where he was so scared of the people of the world that this great Savior that he said he loved and he did, he was so afraid, he denied Jesus, that he even knew Jesus 3 times. And the 3rd time that he denied him, Jesus is looking him right in the eyes. And Peter is so crushed. He failed again. Why do I keep failing? And he goes off and he grieves and he weeps. But the Lord was not done with him. After the resurrection, he goes and he seeks out Peter. He makes a breakfast and Peter's in his boat. He's fishing again and Peter sees him and he sees it's the Lord and he goes running after Jesus. And Jesus just asks them. And maybe you're at this point where you just feel like, I'm a big failure. Why would God want me? And Jesus just asks you, do you love me? And Peter's like, you know I do. And take care of my people. Take care of those around you. Do you love me, Peter? He's like, you know I do. And he restored him. And after Peter experiences restoration and the resurrected Christ, he becomes that rock. He's still sinful, needs Christ's grace, but he is a rock. Listen to Peter. John MacArthur writes of Peter. He says, Peter's name is mentioned in the Gospels more than any other name except Jesus. No one speaks as often as Peter. No one is spoken to by the Lord as often as Peter. No disciple is so frequently rebuked by the Lord as Peter. No disciple ever rebukes the Lord except Peter. No one else confessed Christ more boldly or acknowledged his lordship more explicitly. Yet no other disciple ever verbally denied Christ as forcefully and publicly as Peter did. No one is praised and blessed by Christ the way Peter was. Yet Peter was also the only one Christ ever addressed as Satan. The Lord had harsher things to say to Peter than ever said to any of the others. And all of this contributed to making him the leader Christ wanted him to be. God took a common man with an ambivalent, vacillating, impulsive, unsubmissive personality and shaped him into a rock-like leader. He was the greatest preacher among the apostles. He preached at Pentecost and 3,000 people were saved. He healed a lame man. He was so powerful that his shadow even healed people. He raised Dorcas from the dead. And he introduced the gospel to the Gentiles. And he gave us two letters, 1 and 2 Peter, that teaches about all his life experiences. If you've never read 1 or 2 Peter, you need to read them. They're his life lessons to us and to the church. He became that rock to the point to where he was willing to be crucified upside down for the Lord. He would never deny his Lord again. And the Lord brought him home. History and tradition says that he was martyred for his faith and that when he was going to be crucified, he goes, I don't deserve to be crucified like Jesus. Crucify me upside down. He was a rock. Jesus shapes us through impossible situations. So how do we make it when we're in a possible situation, when life seems impossible? We recognize that our place and our purposes are in the hands of the great I Am, the one who is above the storms, the Savior and the Deliverer, Jesus Christ. We know that the story is not over. He is making all things new, and we rest in the promise that his mercies are new every single morning. When you find yourself in that impossible situation, get your eyes off the situation. Get your eyes focused on the greatness of God. He will take you home all the way through the situation, even death itself, to glorification. He died and rose again that your sins may be forgiven and that you will have a living, eternal hope with him forever. Trust his power. Trust his glory. Know it and teach these things to your people, to your children, to your neighbors, to your friends. Be a leader for Christ. He's not done with you. Even if you failed and failed and failed, Peter is the example. He's not done with you. No matter how young or old you are, tell the glorious good news of this Christ who gives living hope. The God above the storms, the God of love above things that seem impossible. He's the great deliverer. He is the great I Am. Worship him this morning. Grow in your boldness for the cause of Christ. And grow in your humility, depending your whole life on Christ this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You are the God who walks on water. You are the God who will pull us through. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, not on all the things that seem impossible. Lord, life is hard. We'll leave here and within a couple hours, our doubts and our fears will creep in. Remind us, let your spirit remind us to focus on the greatness of God, whose mercies are new every morning, that you're not done with us yet. You're going to take us all the way home to glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.